I don't want anyone in this family anywhere near zombie takeout ever again. Hello and welcome to episode 448 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Show. I'm John.
Hello, I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got a voicemail from Butto about this week's movie.
Sorry.
I'm probably too late. I forgot to call earlier, but here we go. Dum-dum. It was dumb. Have a break.
Thank you, Butto. And that laugh you just heard was legit, because I didn't warn you about this. I didn't have you listen to it. I just read it out just like Butto did it. So, yeah.
Sorry, Butto.
And on to this week's movie, which is from 1987. Same year as last week's movie. Jaws the Revenge, a.k.a. Jaws 4. And, of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Paranoia. Just because you're paranoid, that doesn't mean that a practically sentient great white shark didn't wait nearly a decade to stalk the rest of your family.
And also brought to you by Hoagie's Air Taxi. It's just a sandwich, really. I don't know. All right, so we begin with, there was a movie called Jaws in 1975 that was really popular.
Okay. I thought it was after Star Wars.
No, I think it was before Spielberg and stuff. Mm-hmm. In that movie, there was a shark that was, you know, terrorizing a town. It was not actually that far from reality. Mm-hmm. And, they, spoiler alert, they go out and they blow the shark up after like losing, you know, the captain that, you know, piloted them out there. This is now, of course, more than a decade later.
Two sequels later.
Yeah, I believe in the second one, the father passes away, or Brody, the elder Brody.
There was a deleted scene. They were going to kill him at the beginning of this one.
Oh, yeah. Really? They killed him in the beginning of this one?
Well, there was going to be a scene. Actually, I don't think it was deleted, because they wanted Scheider to come back to basically do a death scene to explain how he died at the start of this one. So he had to have been alive for, at least the second one, because the third one's unrelated.
I had just assumed that he died off in the second one, because it's been God knows how long since I've seen Jaws 2.
I've only seen the first one.
Yes. I think I've seen the second and third one as a kid, but never like... It wasn't as big a deal as the first one, which is this giant landmark movie that they said, hey, we could make another one of those. This is about, of course, his widow, Martin Brody's widow, and his and their kids. And one of his sons has taken the same job as the sheriff of
a small beach town.
Well, the beginning is hilarious to this movie, because it begins with the shark laying a trap to ambush young Brody. He pushes some driftwood up to a buoy and somehow knows that the young Brody will be the one that comes out to clear it. And he is lying in wait. The shark is lying in wait to kill Brody.
The shark is basically a classic slasher movie that monster, you know, way smarter than he should be, and you can't kill him no matter what.
So this is what I signed up for. This is what I was, you know, like looking forward to. And it delivers in the first, 10 minutes, you know, where it is, well...
Less than 10 minutes when, the first killing happens.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, so I'm like, all right, we're on our way. This is going to be awesome. It's so bad. And then it becomes this family drama. They the widow goes down to to the Bahamas.
Filmed in Hawaii.
Her surviving son has is like a marine biologist and is working on, and of course they keep saying, the shark wouldn't possibly go into warm water, so it's shark free, they're fine. And of course, there wouldn't be a movie if that was the case. But of course the shark manages to follow them in, it was before Christmas when they were up in Amity, and then it was just Christmas when they came down.
Yeah, through the New Year's.
And the shark appeared before New Year's. So within the span of less than 2 weeks, the shark traveled from Amity to the Bahamas. Somehow knowing where their flight would be.
I don't know the water speed velocity of an unladen great white shark. So
No. So again, I'm here, I'm with it, except most of the time in the Bahamas, or we spend a good 50 minutes of just, no, you're not paranoid. When are you going to get over this? What are you going to do? Oh, wait, she's going with that guy. Oh, I don't know if I like him.
Family drama.
And finally, the shark, the shark makes an appearance, but they don't tell anybody about it because they don't want, it's again going back to the theme of the first movie about taking commerce over safety, which of course everybody compared the stuff that happened last year to Jaws.
Right.
And it's safe to go back into the beach and stuff.
Yeah.
And, but finally the shark reveals himself to the general population in an effort to get the little granddaughter, which honestly I was kind of hoping he would do a lot sooner. Does that make me a bad person?
No, I was ambivalent about the kid, but I was real happy about the first kill.
Kid was annoying as fuck. So anyway, he misses, can't win them all, and gets the wrong person, doesn't let go, has a little snack for himself, but then everybody's aware of the shark, and they go for the all-out confrontation. And then, I don't want to spoil this, but if you've seen the first movie, you've seen the end of this movie. And I'm not saying it's a George Lucas remake kind of thing. No, they took the clip from the first fucking movie. Roy Scheider saying, "Smile, you son of a bitch."
That was his cameo.
And the shark blowing up.
Mm.
And hilarity ensued.
I actually have in my notes, "God damn it, he didn't die." After a perfectly good sandwich joke. Anyway, before I get into my review, I just want to preface this with two pieces of information. One, I don't revere the original like most people do. Second half is fun when they're on the boat. The first half is fucking dreadful.
It is a long slog in the first half of Josh. You are right.
I don't love the first one. And I was talking to you about this before we recorded. You know how a movie can be overhyped where you expect it to be better than it actually is? This was overhyped to me in the other direction. I went in expecting it to be Asylum without the fun self-awareness.
So right.
It wasn't either.
I was kind of expecting... I was expecting more of, batshit crazy shark-killing people.
But see, I was expecting that level of quality, but without the batshit crazy self-awareness. Because that's what makes an Asylum movie good. So I was just expecting this to be total shit. It wasn't. But getting back to the beginning, the opening POV could have definitely been scarier. I was reminded of, Evil Dead. When you see the monster POV, that was tense. This was not tense.
No, it was kind of funny because it was like it was a submarine or somebody on a floating device. Just why would the shark have been over water like that?
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense.
No.
None of this makes any sense.
No.
But some of that is what makes this are the only good qualities of it, you know?
Then there was that fisheye transition. You see the shark's eye, and then we see the eye of the fish that they're cooking in the Brody household.
It was kind of like...
That was just, no.
Lame.
And that dialogue in that first scene with the mother and son was just way too quiet. It was mixed weird.
It's the whole problem with this entire movie is the bulk of it is this family dynamic that nobody has the acting chops to really pull off.
Well, I just mean from a sound recording standpoint, from a technical standpoint, it was just too low in the mid. The mix was too low. And just, well, first off, were there two sons in the original? It's been a while. I don't remember. I can't remember, honestly.
I can't remember. I think there was. I think there was an older one and a younger one.
Because it's the younger one who we did that annoying mirroring scene that they fucking brought back. lost it a half a brain for that alone. But, you know, there's a scene with the mother and that son. And I half expected the shark to burst into the house and kill them because Brody Jr. was just fucking irritating. Kind of wanted that.
Of course. Yeah, they made you really want him gone, I think.
And
it was just this whole, like...
Yeah, and that all of the scenes in Amityville have that weird, unfocused tone that the first half of the original had.
Yeah.
Before that first kill, we haven't even had a kill yet, and I'm already rooting for the shark.
Yes.
And I was just so fucking happy to see Brody Jr. get fucking eaten.
Right, and if they had some sort of spree here, and maybe they thought they got him, but they didn't, and he goes away for a bit or something, I think this would have been a lot better movie. But instead, we have the one kill. And then understandably, you have the funeral, and then you have a lot of somber, like, oh, whatever kind of things.
Although all of those grieving family scenes didn't really feel appropriate. They were just a bit too flippant.
Well, right. There were a lot of weird, like, yeah, let's, you know, do this. And mom, why are you acting like this kind of thing? It was just like, what? None of this makes any sense.
The underwater footage was really the best part when they get to the Bahamas because there's some really nice underwater shots.
Oh, yeah.
Although, wouldn't arguing while scuba diving waste air?
Sure.
You know, they had an argue. This one of the sons and, you know, this other marine biologist he was working with had this argument while he's scuba diving. You wouldn't do that.
Of course, you buried the lead there. The other one, of course, none other than the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla. Whose Jamaican accent brought me flashbacks of a certain Johnny Johnson bubble wrap person. It was Eric just as convincing, I would say.
Tuesday afternoon show was just me doing a bad Jamaican accent.
I think you rank up there with Mario Van Peebles, I'd say.
In his one scene with Kane, I couldn't help noticing the similarities between Kane's real Cockney accent and Van Peebles' fake Jamaican Bahamian accent.
It was very Tuesday afternoon reminiscently. It wasn't as funny.
Speaking
the British
of
actor
Michael Caine, and yes, I always pronounce it that way for anybody who caught that. How has he maintained a career?
Well, the famous quote about this movie is that he's never seen it, heard it was terrible.
Well, I have that quote directly.
Okay, right.
When Kane was asked about the movie in an interview, he answered, "I have never seen it, but by all accounts, it is terrible. However, I have seen the house that it built, and it is terrific."
Oh, man.
But just how... I don't... The more I see Kane in, the more I realize, but why does he have a career? And he's playing
able to take one for the team.
Well, yeah, he has done the paycheck roles those very easily. But he's also playing a character named Hoagie. And if you're from our part of the country,
that's really, a sandwich.
Yeah, it's what they call a sub or a poor boy or a grinder in Philly. It's called a Hoagie. And so, yeah, that was funny in a movie where people were getting eaten.
The other fascinating story behind the scenes here. I would say it would be Lorraine Gary, who retired from acting after 1941, not the year, the Steven Spielberg epic that is, I thought, was on our list, but maybe we don't want to do it for, you know, politically correct reasons.
Oh, fair point, fair point. Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah. It is very uncomfortable.
Anyway, she came out of retirement.
She retired after that, and really she retired because she married like a big studio muckety muck.
She didn't need to work anymore.
Right, and no longer needed to work. So you got to wonder how much money they floated to her, Van Peebles, and Kane to make this. Now, of course, Van Peebles...
Enough for Kane to build a house.
Right, exactly.
And I don't know if Van Peebles really was huge yet, was he?
Not really. Like, this is a year after Heartbreak Ridge, which I'm not sure.
Okay, so he was just on the way up.
So some people had to have noticed him for that role, you know, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, I think. And, you know.
Well, that was kind of his first big push, and then it was, you know, from there.
But, of course, he's, you know, he's the son.
Yeah.
And, you know, of...
Marvin
Van Peebles. So he's been in the industry his entire life.
But he was huge in like the early to mid 90s.
Yes.
This was like just at his beginnings. I got to admit, the mechanical shark in this looked a bit better than the original.
Sure.
You know, the technology did pay off. But back to Kane. You could have cut almost all of his scenes and it wouldn't have hurt the movie. Wouldn't it really affect the movie?
Well, that's the overall point of this movie, is that you could have watched that intro where the sun died, walked away for about an hour or so, and then came back for the final 15, 20 minutes maybe, and would not have missed a goddamn thing.
I will say the scene where they were tracking him on the shark on the boat and they lost him, that started to become legitimately suspenseful, and then they pulled out of it.
Yeah, they were like that. The scenes in the original where they were using the buoys to track the shark was, you know, much like that. Only this is they just didn't pull off the suspense as well as they. I think the problem is when you're following the pattern of a movie everybody's already seen,
it's hard to be.
You're not going to build suspense if you're following the same damn pattern.
The sponsor I didn't go with was suspense. When you're making a thriller, try adding some suspense. But even that scene, there were like two scenes that I thought were legitimately suspenseful. That one and a later one I'll get to. But that one, just as they start to ramp up the suspense and like, oh shit, we lost him. Let's, you know, go looking for him. They cut the fucking scene. In a couple times recently on the hearing, you've complained about a song like just getting good, getting to an interesting part, and then ending suddenly.
Yeah,
that's how it felt when they did that.
Definitely.
And then
you just kept waiting for this thing to come in, and it was just like, nope, we're not gonna do it yet.
And then again, half a brain for the fucking mirroring scene, the worst part of the original. They had to fucking redo.
Now. The first movie, of course, we talked about it being real drag in the first part and all that. But that was the 70s, and movies had that kind of pacing back then.
Right.
To have the same exact pacing of the 70s movie in the 80s.
Homage.
It just doesn't work at all because it's not building the same tension that did in the first one. But, you know, you're waiting for that next attack in the first one.
And
here
it's
kind of like...
Yeah, I didn't see the original, I gotta admit this, until like maybe 5-10 years ago.
I was entirely too young when I saw the original. So, I was probably like 6 or 7.
That style of filmmaking was lost on me when I saw it. So, you know, so it had no punch. That first half was just, you know, fucking ponderous. But it did lead to me realizing... You know, in my opinion, at least, and we'll get, you know, ratings at the end of this. This is a perfectly cromulent sequel to the original. You know, it follows a lot of the same points. It's the pacing is very similar. It's fine. But back to the story points. That little mini sub was kind of like an M&M for a shark. or maybe a the beef Wellington maybe would have been a better analogy. You know, it's got the hard the coating. You know, the crust on the outside. I was gonna say
Vanilla Ice.
But
but
I did like the underwater chase when he had to get out of the sub and the shark was chasing him through that sunk cabin.
Right.
I enjoyed that.
You knew he was gonna get cut, of course.
Yeah.
Although the cut didn't factor in for some reason, which was weird. Like only mentioned that he cut himself after the fact, or was that the shark that got him?
I didn't really pay that much attention.
Right, it was, and that was like one of the first scenes where like we could have ourselves some action here, kind of thing. So it was like, whoa,
that was a good scene. It went the full mile. They didn't pull out of it. I thought using the scuba tank to rocket to the surface was very clever.
Except the shark didn't attack.
No.
Well,
you knew he was going to survive.
Well, he survived, but the shark still should have attacked the boat. I mean, what did the shark just say? Well, I followed him down from Amity to here, and he just got away now. But, well, I guess I'll get him some other time.
Fair point.
Keep the action going, you know? Mm. They needed, at that point, this movie had to launch. It had to, you know, be almost nonstop.
They had already done the mechanical shark chewing up the boat bit, so I guess they didn't want to repeat that. They probably didn't have the budget. They were too busy paying the other three. I did like the shark attack during the art show. That was just a nice, fun homage to the original.
The banana boat shark attack was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. The water landing was fun.
So the reason why I wanted to do this movie was that scene where the shark attacked the boat, or the plane.
Yeah.
It was showed to me by a friend. Like, no, you've got to do this. Look at what this shark does.
And then it was the worst case of blue balls a movie has ever given me. They kill off Hoagie. I have in my notes, that's what happens when you name a character after a sandwich. And then moments later, he's fucking alive.
I knew they didn't kill him. Not from seeing... You know, I don't know if I've actually seen this in the past. It's not a very memorable movie anyway. I might not have made it through.
And then, in lieu of killing Hoagie, they kill Jake, Van Peebles' character, who I didn't mind, a cheesy accent aside.
Yeah, he was brutal. He should have gone much sooner, honestly.
Well, actually, he didn't die either, because, you know...
No,
it was
of course not.
This was 80s TV. This was the A-Team, where, you know, none of the bullets actually hit anybody.
Right. Like, I knew they weren't going to get rid of Hoagie, and I hear, actually, that there were other versions of this where he did not come back. That was something that they did some screen testing and they
wanted him to survive.
They wanted him to survive.
That's
and so they
wow
did that terrible like he's bleeding out, but somehow they got him back missing limbs and shit.
Right.
And he's they'll put him back together. He'll be fine.
Yeah,
like, we're pretty much on our a boat in the middle of nowhere
Apparently, there was also another version or a cut subplot where Hoagie was running drugs down to the Bahamas.
Right, and they had to make him a good guy because they had to have a happy ending for Ellen Brody.
Hey, speaking of Ellen, nice segue there. When she flashed back to the younger son's death, it was from the perspective of actually having seen it. She wasn't there.
Oh. Every flashback she had, she was not there for any of that.
Oh, okay.
None of that. I mean, Roy Scheider going, smile, you son of a bitch.
Right, right.
She wasn't there.
She wasn't there for that,
she didn't see any of this shit.
Right. Okay, I almost kind of like that about it now. That's just ridiculous.
None of it made any sense, which is, of course, what we signed up for. Uh-huh. That's not the problem of this.
And the shark's death was nicely spectacular.
I don't even understand the shark's death. It was supposed to be something that electrocuted him.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet it blew up.
Yeah, I stopped trying to apply reason to the movie at that point. But, you know, like I said, it was a Cromulon. I'm not even mad about renting it.
You had to check out for any reason when it's like, when they get to a shark set up an ambush. Mm-hmm. and somebody noticed a piece of driftwood in the middle of the night on a buoy.
Yeah.
And called it in.
Right.
You know what I suspect? I suspect the fucking shark called it in.
I mean, it's smart enough to.
Yeah, there's a piece of driftwood on this buoy here.
Well, we don't really have sequels and remakes because this was the last of the sequels.
In fact, wait a minute here. And just bear with me with some red, you know, string to pull thing. I bet the fucking shark went cow tipping too to lure the other cop out, so it would have to be Brody to come and clear the driftwood off. Because this guy is fucking Moriarty.
Now, I think it might be about time for a Jaws remake.
I know the perfect director who could remake this film. This film. This exact film.
This exact film. I was thinking the original, but go ahead.
No. This film should be remade with Mr. Neil Breen.
Oh, yeah.
As the shark and as Hoagie.
On a more serious tip, remake of the original, I'm thinking James Gunn.
Okay.
Add a little humor to it, you know, make that first half interesting. And he can also do the action stuff, you know.
Of course, the first one would have had a lot more attacks. However, they couldn't get it to work very well. So they had to limit the amount of attacks it could do. Right. So they cut attacks out of the script.
And Dreyfuss is still around, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I think he's retired.
Oh, I was going to say, you put him in the Robert Shaw role.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, on to Brains.
On to Brains.
Like I said, perfectly cromulent sequel to the original. Didn't hate it. Didn't particularly like it. Did enjoy a couple of scenes, so I'm going 3.
I'd say this could easily be one of the worst films ever made. It's just horrendous. Not even fun to make fun of, really. There were a few funny scenes, you know, the unintentionally hilarious scenes. But they lost whatever, you know, that built up with some, you know, schlocky, you know, family drama scenes that you just made you forget about any good of this. So just terrible. And it was I wanted to have the first title that spoiled how many brains I was going to give it. Mm-hmm. No brains at all. And may God have mercy on their souls.
And what have we learned?
Sometimes the train wreck, you're just better off looking away from it. Sometimes it's just two trains off the track together, and it's not polite to interrupt.
And I learned that it's not... Actually, I learned a couple of things. First, it's not nice to be evasive. And I actually legit did learn that conchs are snails. I had no idea. I actually looked it up. They kept referring to them as snails. The marine biologists were collecting conchs. Or conches. I don't know. I'm guessing on that pronunciation.
Honestly, they could have replaced an hour of this film with a freshly painted wall that you could have just watched it dry, and then had the final scene at the end, and it would have been probably about the same.
And that's it for Jaws the Revenge. Until 2 weeks from now, we're off next week, when we'll be reviewing The History of Future Folk. Heard good things about this movie. I've also recently learned that it's about an actual, like, comedy band called Future Folk. So, I'm not familiar with them, but we're still going to watch the movie. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.